Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.
Hey everybody, that was Dara Williams singing with Pete Seeger and David Burns, the Solartopia song. This is Harvey Skuggo Wasserman talking to you at the fantastic Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show here on PRN. Once again today, we're going to be with our amazing Zoom call on election protection every Monday night at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We gather 50, 60, 70 people to talk about the details of the upcoming election and how to prevent it from being stolen. This is our 17th Zoom call that's coming at you. And we today deal with the realities of what's happening in the key swing states of North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Wisconsin, and Michigan. So listen in. There is a tremendous amount of detail here on this call, and you won't hear it anywhere else. This is where we figure out exactly how to protect this election. Thank you so much for joining. If you want to get in touch with me and get on these calls, it's Harvey Skuggo Wasserman at Solartopia, S-O-L-A-R-T-O-P-I-A at gmail.com. And take a listen. You're going to hear stuff you're not going to hear anywhere else. And we do need to take action. Be a poll worker. Be a poll monitor. Make sure you're registered. Make sure everybody you know is registered to vote. Go in, most importantly, and vote early. That's what we need done here to preserve this election and to stop the dictatorship from taking over our country and destroying our earth. Take it away, please, and we'll see you next week at the Green Power and Wellness Show here on PRN. Thank you, Jesse, and the crew in New York. And now here we go.
Hi, everyone. This is the 17th. Gathering, a Zoom gathering of the Grassroots Election Protection, Emergency Election Protection Coalition. I am a co-convener. I'm Harvey Skuggo Wasserman with Joel Siegel, I'm in LA and Joel is in Charlotte, North Carolina. We are engineered by Mike Hirsch and co-hosted by Stephen Caruso as well. Mike is in D.C. and Stephen, you're in Central Ohio. So we are glad to have everybody with us. And Mike has posted at the chat an article that I've got up right now at Reader Supported News, basically stating that the election has begun. We are 7 weeks from November 3rd, but we are now officially in the election season, which is about 50 days. And we are looking at early voting, and also ballots have gone out in the mail. And early voting, by all accounts now, is gonna be a huge factor in this election. The polls showed that as many as half the people who had originally said that they were gonna be voting by mail may now actually early vote, which as far as in terms of election protection is a very good thing. That means people are going in and voting. Hopefully they're getting paper ballots. That's a major issue. When you early vote, what do they give you? Do they give you a touch screen, which we know when my co-writer Bob Fetrakis is on, and we have done quite a bit of experience with touchscreen machines, which we refer to as push and pray. We really don't know what the outcome is gonna be when you push it on a touchscreen machine. You don't know where your vote goes, you don't know who counts it, you don't know if they fractionalize it, what they do with it. We are major in terms of election protection in our site, the Grassroots Emergency Election Protection Coalition, or grassrootsep.org, we very strongly advocate for paper ballots everywhere, And we hope that the people going into early vote are getting paper ballots. That's something we need to advocate for. It looks like the Republicans are already talking about major fraud in, especially in Nevada, where everyone will be mailed a vote, and in Florida, which is really up in the air. And we have Susan Pinchon, who's going to talk to us about Florida later on. So the bottom, we're going to also talk about poll workers. We're going to talk about the youth vote. Bernie Sanders has raised an issue. We're going to talk about mailings from this group NVI, which nobody can figure out. There's a group called, I wanted to discuss, called the Democratic Associations of Secretaries of State, which is being pushed by Eric Holder and Barack Obama. I watched an hour of a presentation from Alicia Keys last night. We want to talk about Michael Moore, voting in the arenas, yard signs, and then we'll have state reports from the key states, North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Wisconsin's big uproar in Wisconsin, and also Leo, since the great Reverend Leo Woodbury is on the call, we'll talk about South Carolina as well. And then finally, we will have a forum, and Bob Trakas is also going to talk to us. There's been repeated questions about what happens if Trump refuses to leave the White House, what nonviolent tactics could be used. And Bob is going to talk to us about the general strike, which is has happened in American history, certainly a very powerful reality in European history, and something that we need to talk about. I just got an email window in my upper right-hand corner, the title of which is Trump Rebukes California Leaders on Wildfires. I guess those of us in California did not rake up enough leaves to prevent this Holocaust in the forests, but I have no interest in discussing that on this call. So as I say, we're now 7 weeks out, 50 days, and the election has begun. Does anyone want to make any kind of comment or report on early voting? Has anybody early voted yet? And do we know if people going into the polls are getting paper ballots, or are they getting machines? Or are they being forced to vote on machines? Has anybody specifically seen anything about the realities of early voting?
Harvey, I can jump in from the state of North Carolina. Good afternoon, everyone. We don't begin early voting until October 15th, and no, we will not have paper ballots. It will be the machine. The only time paper will be used is for provisional ballots or the absentee. And while we are encouraging absentee voting, we are experiencing delays with the post office, which I think, you know, we're not the only ones experiencing that. And of course, 45 came to Wilmington, North Carolina, and encouraged our voters to vote twice. So our state is already set up to have fraud as its culprit because of his statement. So October 15th, we will have in Mecklenburg County 33 polling places open and available for persons to come to. Our sports personnel, the Panthers and the Hornets, have also provided their stadiums. So we will have the stadiums as well. That's the report.
Okay, so have people been receiving paper ballots yet in the mail?
We have been receiving. As a matter of fact, I think I get a application every other week. So I think I'm collecting them now. I'm getting them.
Yes. Yeah. We were wanted to discuss that. But first of all, are people able legally to take your paper ballot and walk it in? Is there a place where you can walk it in?
Well, you can take it to the Board of Elections. Uh-huh. And the law based on the Board of Elections is that the only person who can handle your absentee ballot application and your absentee ballot will be the recipient or a member of their family. So in other words, I cannot go and pick up dozens from others and take it down there.
But you could, can you apply and then get a ballot and leave it at the same time?
I can apply for it, get it, and take it down. I know there is a deadline date, which I don't have to give at this report. I can look it up and try to bring that to you before we end. There is a deadline date to turn it in, and you can physically turn in the absentee ballot.
At the election stations.
It would actually go to the Board of Elections. No, it would not be turned into the sites.
Okay. Now the sites are going to open October 15th, and that includes the two arenas.
Yes.
The football stadium and the basketball stadium.
Yes.
But those will not be open on election day.
No. Only your precincts will be open on election day.
Okay. But we are urging people to vote before election day.
We are, especially in North Carolina, because you have the opportunity to register and vote during early voting. So if you miss that window to register to vote, you have that opportunity. And so we are strongly encouraging our community to early vote. That way you get a chance to check to see if your name has been taken off the roll. If it has, you can register on the spot and vote at the same time.
Right. And are you getting any cooperation from the Democratic Party? And are there any PSAs on the air about this?
Not very many PSAs at the moment. However, I'm a part of several groups where we are working to make sure that folks know to vote and to early vote. So with my State Baptist Association, we are working out a plan now to get all of our churches on board to give information, a sample ballot, as well as the locations where they can vote. So that's an initiative that has started as early as today, putting that plan in action so that we can be ready by the time the polls open October 15th. And then other groups are doing the same thing.
Are any of the days that the polls will be available for early voting on Sundays?
I think we still have, initially when they started out with two weekends, we had two Sundays, but I think we will have two Sundays, and I can double check that too, because we were fighting for that. We had initially had two Sundays and they took it away and gave us one Sunday. I think we have that back, and I'll double check for us.
And what about before October 15th? Are there any of the election boards open on Sundays?
No.
Okay.
And none will be open. I'll find out about early voting if they're open on Sundays and what those Sundays are.
Good. Okay. Anybody else got Joel, did you want to jump in? Joel Siegel from Charlotte.
Yeah.
Situation and Leo Woodbury, you can talk to us about. We might as well do the state reports now. Thank you for that. Extremely helpful.
Thank you.
I saw Jan too. Ben Dorr had her hand up, but Leo, why don't you go ahead and I'll follow.
Yeah, because I have a board call I have to jump on. So in South Carolina, our legislators are meeting on tomorrow to decide whether or not early voting will begin on October 5th or September 28th. So. We actually have a coalition of people who will be having a press conference at the State House with some legislators to move the date up to September 28th, especially in light of the fact that November 3rd is still hurricane season and there's no guarantee that people won't be experiencing torrential rains or hurricanes or floods. So. We're really focused on getting people out to vote early. For absentee ballots, we are allowed, we have to witness, if you are not a paid campaign staff worker and the voter agrees, we can have someone help who's not a family relative and they can take that sealed envelope to the election commission. We had a lot of success doing that during the primary and subsequent runoffs. And so we are advocating that people vote early and that we hand deliver as many absentee ballots as possible. So we're not feeding red meat to the Republican Party so that they can cry rigged election next year. We're also working with a coalition of organizations statewide, working with Andrea Miller and others. So we're going to be purchasing, she's already started, we're going to have $15,000 worth of digital billboards that'll be up in the four largest metropolitan areas. October 5th, we'll be having Souls to the Polls, where we're asking faith leaders and nonprofit organizations in Greenville, Spartanburg, Columbia, Charleston, and Florence to commit to taking at least five of their congregants or parishioners to the polls. And so we're going to be doing that simultaneously on October 5th at noon all across the state. The other thing is that we'll be doing, we'll have a number that'll be on the car magnets for calls to the poll, for souls to the poll. And people who call that number will be able to get assistance, filling out an application so they can get an absentee ballot or transportation if they want an early vote or register to vote or get transportation on November 3rd. And Andrea Miller's group has an amazing app that we'll be using. I know also in North Carolina that works like Uber or Lyft. And so once we have recruited the volunteer drivers throughout the state, people who call that number will be directed to someone who can come and pick them up, and the driver will have turn by turn direction to the polling place that they're going to. So we're working really hard on getting our common messaging and having one number, phone number, one hashtag, one hashtag that can be used all around the state to get people out to vote early.
That's fantastic. You know, if you could write that up, give us somehow a written document of what your game plan is, I think that would be useful all over the country.
Okay, thank you. We'll be happy to do that.
That would be fantastic. We'll put it up on the internet. We'll put it on this list, and we'll make it available to all the election protection groups. Where you know, that would be wonderful because that's really, this is the game plan that people need.
Yeah, let me add one more thing. We're also working with a group called Green Faith out of New Jersey, and I serve on the board of directors. And we're working on, we're still trying to get resources, but we're working on having what we call moral witnesses, where we'll be asking faith leaders, those same faith leaders, to get people to volunteer watching at the poll. And if they see anything that is suspicious or questionable or just plain wrong, they'll be able to take a picture, make a video, and then also send that to a website, and I'm sorry, to email it, and also call a number where there'll be legal services available. So we'll be glad to write all that up.
Yeah, that sounds really, really great. Very, very important. And you know, South Carolina, if you flip South Carolina, there'll be a lot of nervous breakdowns in many Republican headquarters.
Jamie Harrison is doing a good job making people nervous.
Well, that's good, but you're at the grassroots, and that's where it really counts. We really appreciate your work, and if maybe by in a week, if we could have your memo, we will be having these meetings every week from now for the duration. So this is critical information, Leo. One question: when people go in to vote in person in South Carolina, do they get paper, or do they have to vote on a machine, or do they get a choice?
For the primaries and the runoff, they actually got paper ballots. I don't know if that's going to continue, We'll find out after the legislature meets tomorrow and perhaps next week, because we're also having difficulty. We have drop boxes. I understand it's about 50,000 drop boxes, and we're trying to get them to put those drop boxes out, especially in rural areas where people might have to drive 20, 30 miles to a polling location and it'll be less apt to do so, especially with COVID. So I can write up what we have, but we'll have additional information after the legislature meets tomorrow. And hopefully they'll settle everything tomorrow and won't push it into next week as well.
Well, as we've mentioned, you know, if you can get them to give you paper ballots, there's a big argument, a health argument against the touchscreens also, which is you've had people successively touching the screen, you could transmit the COVID. So, you know, wherever you can get paper ballots and digital scanning machines, that's what we're hoping for.
Absolutely. That way we know the machines haven't been rigged and the Russians can't tamper, so yes.
Okay, anybody want to ask Leo anything about South Carolina?
I do.
Their plan there, yeah, Joel?
Hi, Leo, thank you for coming on the call. Leo, can you explain how the Black communities in South Carolina and North Carolina are basically forgotten and left out by the Democratic Party and the progressive movement in terms of funding so you can do an on-the-ground game that can actually get Black voters to the polls? Because I feel like it's a hidden fact, but it needs to be stated more honestly.
Yeah, well, you know, particularly when you look at a state like South Carolina that isn't a swing state and that a lot of people just look at and say it's ruby red. And outside of the presidential primary, people don't expect much. And where they don't expect much, they don't invest their finances. But, you know, as I said earlier, we have 250,000 people who are unregistered voters who we can swing this state with. You know, I'm sad to say that all of the monies that we've been able to acquire for our Get Out the Vote effort across the state, none of it has come from the Democratic Party. And so, you know, it's really hard to organize, mobilize, and move communities together to make change when those communities are already under-resourced, greatly under-resourced. And so I'm just hoping that Jamie Harris's success over Lindsey Graham, how we swung Joe Cunningham's district down in the Charleston area, we're just hoping that as we make progress and we make change, that the Democratic Party will take a different view. And in a lot of cases, like the region where we live, the PD region, which is overwhelmingly Democratic, people just generally just take the votes of people of color for granted with the Democratic Party. And I know that you guys know that part of the Republican strategy now is to talk to those disenchanted people of color, particularly African-American males. You may have seen something on the news where the Republican Party nationally are saying that if they can swing 5% of disgruntled African-American males into their camp, that will greatly increase Trump's chances of winning. So if we don't, if the Democratic Party doesn't become more and more engaged, we're gonna lose, we're gonna start to lose African-American and people of color voters.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a question.
Please.
Reverend, I love the name Moral Witness for your polling people. I think that's excellent. Are you having planned training for them of what exactly they're going to be doing when they catch problems that they're going to report? Do you have a training in mind?
Yes, Green Faith is going to do some training. And we have parts of the state, like where we live and operate in Florence County. They're throwing, you know, they're blowing dog whistles. They're using bullhorns. Literally, all of the Democratic candidates running, the new ones running for state house are women and African Americans. The entire slate of Democratic candidates in Florence County, which is the fourth largest metropolitan area in the state, all of the candidates are African American with the exception of one. And on the Republican side, Loretta's showing the list, on the Republican side, every Republican candidate is a white male with the exception of one. And so we're really in a battle in terms of diversity and those sorts of things. They're pouring a lot of money into key parts of the state. If our Democratic candidates win, the Democratic Party will be, this county council and the city council and the mayor will all be African Americans overwhelmingly. We're talking about 5 out of 7 seats on the city council and 4 out of 7 seats on the county council and so on. And imagine how much more communities we could have like that if we could register people and we had the resources.
Reverend, I said this is really excellent, but in terms of training people, there's very specific things to be looking for, and it's very complicated because I know I've been studying it myself. Do you have specific training that you're going to be giving them? Because that is something that I'm actually working on with a number of people, and it sounds like what you're doing is right on, but I'm asking, do you have specific training about what to be looking for?
There's no money. The training is supposed to be conducted by Green Faith, but if you can assist us, that would be more than welcome. I am not an expert in that area at all. I'm a community grassroots organizer and a preacher. That's basically it.
can you put their contact in the chat, or can somebody put the contact of Green Faith in the chat so I know?
Okay, do you have the phone number? Okay, I'm gonna have to pull up the number. Or can you tell us your email address and I'll get it to you?
Perfect.
And I have to, and I don't mean to cut it off, but I need to be on this board call where I'm on the executive committee and we're supposed to be making a decision about our strategic plan.
Perfect. So my name is Jennifer Tanner. And my email is jjtanner with a T, 18, the number 18, at gmail.com.
Okay, jjtanner18 at gmail.com.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Guys, I hate to run, but you know, it's...
You've been spectacular. Join us again next week, please. Give us the update. We have, it looks hard, but we have 7 weeks. 7 weeks is a lifetime in politics. Okay, thank you so much, Reverend. Keep up your great work. Since we started in, let's do the state-by-state reports, and then we'll go to the other stuff. Joel, do you want to continue with North Carolina and tell us what's going on there? And then we'll go to Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and really Wisconsin. There's a big news in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, thanks for keeping us all together, Harvey. And a lot of work. First of all, Glenn C. Redrick is, in terms of her work with the Center for Common Ground, they really are doing phenomenal work in terms of trying to get the purge list, which is just taking forever. There are over 600,000 people purged in North Carolina, and I think they finally got the purge list. So what they're doing is they're sending out thousands of postcards to that purge list and trying to re-register people who don't know that they've been purged. So that's one of the most important things that's happening. The second thing that's happening is we have a coalition now. It's about maybe 30 organizations strong, former Secretary of State, almost all the nonprofit voting rights groups, African American Caucus, the postal unions, many of you actually been on those calls. I'll just tell you the two projects that we're about to do. The biggest problem that we have here, and I would say it is not a problem, it's a crisis. In the African-American community and in every community that we've surveyed, there is mass confusion about the absentee ballot. People are getting the ballot and they're throwing them in the trash can because they think that it's some kind of a, you know, solicitation. And as much as we want to protect the vote, we also want to make sure that there are enough people to actually vote that we can protect. So this is not a problem, this is a crisis. So in other words, there could be literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people that will not vote because they didn't know about the absentee ballot process. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold a, like a rock the vote. We were going to do a webinar, but we decided that that would be very boring. So we're going to get some local musicians. We have got a, we don't have any resources. So we're asking that it be done strictly, you know, by volunteers. Then we're just going to, we're going to have music. Then we're going to get people to actually teach people how to go through the ballot process, both from filling it out to where they drop it off, the day of and after. We're also going to use that as an opportunity to recruit people to work at the polls. This is probably one of the best ways to recruit people quickly to either be poll watchers or poll monitors. So we're going to do this intensive education. We have our event planned. It's going to, I think it might take about 2.5 weeks. We're rounding up the musicians now. So this is going to be organized by the interfaith community and the multi national, international community. So we've never done this before. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. But at the same time, what we're going to do too is we're taking groups of people to the Board of Elections. We're going to meet with them and we're going to ask them, do they know about Mark Zuckerberg's grant? So I think it's $250 million, I think Harvey told us. And if they go to Zuckerberg, they can get money to train poll workers. Where I do have a disagreement with some of the people in North Carolina, the Charlotte Observer said that there's a crisis of not having enough poll workers. And even though the county, even though they pay people, they used to have senior citizens that did that work, but most of them are not going to work because of the fear of COVID. So that is a real serious problem. And if we don't get enough poll workers, there could be weeks and weeks and weeks before we one. That's what happened in New York, in the state of New York. The third thing that we're trying to do is we want to train poll monitors on the day of the election to just be there. They would have a yellow ribbon. We're not, we're working with the existing organizations who already do this. Harvey has raised some money so that we can make sure this could be done successfully, but we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to give it to organizations that are already doing this. We'll have to see who those organizations are, and we're talking to them literally this week. So I'll just close by saying, believe it or not, I'm pretty optimistic because, you know, it seems like a very hard task and there's all these barriers, but once we formed the coalition, we brought in the NAACP, we brought in so many different organizations, and it turned out that everybody was doing similar things. They just weren't connected. And Harvey, you were very helpful on the last call in making sure that people kind of understood what our priorities are. I'll close by saying one thing I've learned about this whole process and this journey of election protection, there's gonna need to be the creation of a pass-through foundation funded by people like Tom Steyer, LeBron James. If we can't depend on, and even though we are 501c3, either party, Democrat or Republican, we cannot depend on them to fund an election protection project. We can't depend on them to do GOTV. Having worked in the party for 40 years and worked with the DNC for 13, they put their money into TV commercials and lawyers. They don't pay money. They don't give money to people like Glency, who knows her community, or Leo Woodbury, who is organized throughout the state of South Carolina. that's why there's so many close races with progressives who could win, because we're not getting the black vote out and the Hispanic vote, because that's a big deficit. That's a big hole in the Democratic Party. All that being said, since we're nonpartisan, that's going to mean, that means we're going to have to do that unless there's funding in the future. It has to be in the tens of millions, and we can get that money. It's not going to happen, but I'm optimistic. I think we can make it happen. It's just that we're going to have to do it ourselves. That's my report.
All right. Very good. Anybody else from North Carolina? Thank you, Joel.
You're welcome.
Susan,
I had a question.
Sorry, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, this was, and by the way, hi, Harvey and Bob. I haven't seen you guys since 2004, 2005. So Joel, it was pretty frightening to hear that so many of these absentee ballots or vote by mail ballots are thrown out. In California, if that happens, you can always go and vote provisionally in person the day of. Do you know what the law is in your state or other states like that?
Yeah, I had a long conversation with Mimi Kennedy about that. And I'm not an expert on provisional ballots, but you're supposed to be able to fill them out. But here's the problem. If you fill out a provisional ballot, there's a very good chance that they won't count them.
We get them counted here in California. They even post on the SOS website that it's been counted, but I know we're a little bit better than other states. So
I'll give you an example. Let's say you applied for an absentee ballot, but you didn't get it. If you go to, you know, to vote, and the person says, "I'm sorry, but you can't vote twice because you applied for an absentee ballot," and the person says, "Well, I didn't get it." That's gonna be part of our training, is we gotta train people what happens when they actually go to the polls. They have to say, "Please, we need a provisional ballot." Our job as election protection activists is to make sure that the provisional ballots are not thrown out, but they're actually counted. It is a, Harvey, you probably, and Bob, you guys know more about the provisional ballots, but Mandeep, thank you for that question.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks for all
Bob
your-
Bob Petrakis, you want to talk about provisional ballots? It's a national problem.
Well, can I say something about North Carolina before we hear it
yes,
from a
please.
Personal perspective?
Go ahead.
So the problem with provisional, no one really trusts that their votes would be counted. But when an absentee ballot is requested, the individual still has the choice whether to mail the absentee ballot in or to go into to vote early. However, in looking at our information, the last day for an absentee ballot to be turned in is October 31st. So they would not be able to take the ballot in at that time. They would have to physically go in and vote. So even if they request the ballot, get the ballot, they still have an opportunity to either use the ballot or go in and vote, but they must do it before the 31st of October. To mail it in, it has to be mailed in by the 27th. And so those are the things that are not clearly explained to the community. Should they decide that they don't want to, or should they decide that they want to use the absentee ballot and not go vote on November the 3rd, their vote won't be counted unless it is mailed by the 27th or hand delivered by the 31st. And the deadline for registering to vote is October the 9th. So our greatest window to do our best job in North Carolina is to use that window of opportunity during early voting, where the participant has the opportunity to either use his absentee ballot or not, or find out if they have been expunged from the roll, they have an opportunity to re-register and vote at the same time. So really for North Carolina, our push really should be focused on early voting. And unfortunately, we don't have the paper ballot. We do have the touch screen. We did get the an upgrade system that is probably upgrade for North Carolina and dated for other areas, where we have a blank sheet of paper that we stick into the machine that records what we check on the ballot. So you have an opportunity to look at it. Then it goes in another machine to be counted. However, North Carolina right now has a lawsuit for that company because we still find that it's able to be hacked and votes changed. So we're kind of in a hard rock, between a hard rock and whatever that little cliche is.
Yeah. So, and now also people should know that if you're going to walk in your paper ballot, you need to bring the envelope as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise they're going to give you a provisional. So you need to bring everything and whatever ID that they may ask for. Jan Bendor has put a long thing in the chat here. Jan, can you talk? Thank you very much for that. Jan Bendor, do you want to jump in here from Michigan? And then you can also tell us what's going on in Michigan.
Well, thank you, Harvey. There's a lot of confusion about provisional ballots, and I think it will help if you read the Help America Vote Act. A provisional ballot should never be used for a person whose registration is already established in that jurisdiction. That is a no-no, but the provisional ballot has been abused all over the country for the wrong reasons. If a person originally got an absentee ballot, didn't bring it, then they should be given an affidavit to swear that they can't find it, the dog ate it, or some such, and they should be given a regular ballot. There's also such a thing as a challenged ballot, where that person's residency has been challenged or various other things. A challenge ballot is voted just like any other ballot, but it will be given a special mark and that mark covered with tape. So if there's a court challenge, that ballot can be retrieved. Provisional ballots make me crazy. I think we got to get rid of them. They're absolutely only abused, and they haven't helped anybody as far as I can tell. Let me just give you a quick update about Michigan. We will be getting our absentee ballots out on September 24th. We expect 2/3 of Michigan voters to vote by absentee. So that could be as many as 5 million voters. And thanks to our 2018 constitutional amendment that we passed, we made it possible for every voter to get an absentee ballot for no reason whatsoever. And we also have Election Day registration, which is done at the office of the local clerk. So you can go to the local clerk on Election Day, you can register, and you can vote your ballot right there. That's.
Jan, jump in. Let me ask you, you say Election Day, does that include early voting as well?
Can you okay. go before? Okay, let's be clear what early voting means. This makes me crazy. In Michigan, early voting is essentially absentee voting on paper, always, we have nothing else. And you can come in on September 24th, as soon as the ballots are available, and you can vote your absentee ballot in person at the clerk's office. That's our version of early voting. But we will not have live tabulators. That would be a violation of Michigan election law. Imagine the nightmare if the tabulators are turned on and then they're left on for 3 or 4 weeks. The machines don't do well under those conditions, and they're not designed to turn on and off. If you turn them off, then the next day you're starting a whole new election, and we have no way to accumulate all of those daily totals. So that is not possible, even if it were legal. And you're not going to get two election inspectors from different parties to babysit the machine all night. So I think there'd be a lot of resistance to that kind of early voting. So we're just doing early voting on paper, sealed absentee ballots. The one thing that I'm very disappointed about is after years of trying, my organization has not been able to get a provision that would allow any person with an early absentee ballot to come in and put it through the tabulator in test mode to make sure they don't make a mistake. So that's a disadvantage for early absentee on paper voters. They can't see if they've overvoted races. If they have made other mistakes, like invalid marks, you can't make a check mark, it usually doesn't work. So that's something we've been trying to correct so that we can help people avoid mistakes. What we're doing primarily this time is we're trying to protect communities of color in Michigan. We have about 7 areas in our state that are historically underserved by any kind of honest elections. My organization for the last almost 15 years has been training election challengers. We call them mirror monitors. They know exactly what's supposed to happen at every stage of election day, and they will actually raise objections when they see things going wrong, whether it's having people vote with pencils, which is against the law. It might be a stack of blank ballots left in the middle of the room. All kinds of nutty stuff goes on. When we trained local challengers in Benton Harbor, Michigan, which is across from Chicago, a community that has always been run by the Whirlpool Corporation and the elections corrupted by them, the residents said it was the first honest election they'd had in 30 years. So monitoring makes a huge difference. We've also trained people in Detroit, which, by the way, is the second largest African-American majority community in the United States after Philly. 480,000 voters. If we don't get Detroit voters out, we're not going to win my state. And so that's really our biggest priority.
Okay. And it's my belief that Michigan and North Carolina could very well decide this election. It's great you're there in Michigan, and we need more people on the case. We're going to zip through the rest.
Can I interject here for a second, Harvey?
Very quickly. Yes, Marion.
Just on the subject of tabulators, one very important thing we need to be advocating right now before the elections is to election officials to make sure to disconnect their tabulators, their rolls, all of this from the internet. If they're, because a lot of the wireless modems, the ES&S and other companies have been selling election officials wireless modems. If they're connected to the internet, it makes hacking very easy. The Russians are already looking into these opportunities and working on it. We got to make sure that election officials disconnect their tabulators from the internet. And absolutely, that's something we should all be advocating for now. This isn't prep stuff. This is stuff we need to make sure that they understand now.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Marion. We've been doing that. But there's another problem related to that. If your local election administrator has not programmed their ballots in-house by sworn personnel, and they've had an outside consultant do it, as we had for 10 years, there were only two consultants who did the entire state for all 7.5 million voters, and they were not sworn, and nobody knew what they were connected to. And that's another source of malware and hacking, and we got to be very careful with all this stuff. Thank you.
Well, okay, let's add that to our ask. But we need to find out who the local election officials are. And we have to have people who don't identify themselves as Democrat or Republican. They just say they're concerned about honest elections, urging them not to let the Russians or anybody else hack the elections. If you talk about foreign interference, there's more of a chance that they would listen, regardless of what party, that they need to disconnect from the internet. And I agree, you know, and thank you for that add-on.
I want to say, you know, we're covering this state by state, but all these are generic issues. And so I hope we'll all stick with it, because it's not just Michigan and North Carolina at stake here and South Carolina. This stuff goes all across the country. And thank you so much, Jan and Marion, for that. And you even have a Democratic governor and secretary of state in Michigan. So hopefully things can be dealt with fairly, but it's going to take in Detroit, it's going to take a big push.
Don't trust that. I'll give you the background when you want it.
Yeah, not now, but again, this is nitty gritty stuff. It's state by state, but a lot of it is generic. In Pennsylvania, we have, Florida, do we have Susan Pinchon? Real quick, I want to see if we can get this done in another 10 minutes. We do have a serious issue in Wisconsin that's going to affect the whole country that we need to talk about. But Susan Pinchon, can you give us a quick wrap on Florida? And then we'll do Pennsylvania, and then we'll go to Wisconsin. Susan Pinchon, are you on? Okay, let's go to Pennsylvania. Annabelle and Muriel. Annabelle Park and Muriel. Okay, Muriel is going to give us the update on Pennsylvania. Muriel, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody. Nice to meet everybody.
Muriel. Okay, so what's happening in Pennsylvania?
I'm with a group called Protect Our Vote Philly. We are based in Philadelphia. We've been around for a year and a half. We started by advocating for handmarked paper ballots, and then we became a watchdog of our Board of Elections. So I can only speak really to Philadelphia and our efforts here. Basically, our board doesn't follow the election code and doesn't follow the Sunshine Act, and we're trying to get politicians to care about it, and we're shut out by the media. But what we're concerned about is if they handle the November election like they handled the June canvass, we're going to be in a load of trouble. We think that that's going to open us up to legal challenges. So we're just doing our best to make the elected officials aware. So we do have a Democratic governor, Democratic Secretary of State, but that doesn't seem to matter.
It didn't in 2016.
And recently we just launched a project to save digital ballot images. So we wrote to the Department of State, we wrote to all the counties, letting them know the law, federal and state law, so that we are hoping to educate them and to encourage them to save ballot images as vital election records. And that's thanks to John Brakey and Susan Pynchon at and Audit Elections USA. So hopefully that's going to be a good development. We did hear back from Philadelphia that they saved their ballot images. We just need to confirm if they're talking about all the ballot images. So that's a little nuance there that they might have some wiggle room on, and we want to pin them down.
Do you have a coalition in Pennsylvania that's working on election protection? Are there other groups? Because what we could do, Steve Caruso's on the phone, on the line, we can set up a Zoom call for you if you can get all the groups in the state working on election protection so we can network.
That would be great.
All right, so if you'll get to us and email me and Steve, and we'll set up with you a Zoom call for everybody in Pennsylvania. And certainly Annabelle has the skills on social networking. Okay?
Excellent, we appreciate that.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Annabelle, did you want to add anything?
I wanted to add that we have tools that we developed to help people get out the vote and to go over election rules with people. It's called 100 Voters Project, and I put that in the link. And we're also doing social media disinformation training that are free and online. And I would love for everyone to join and see if we can work together to do rapid response on social media to counter disinformation.
Great, wonderful. Yeah. I've worked with Annabelle. She had me on her Facebook page, and I'm probably the oldest person she ever interviewed, but thank you very much. Okay, and you're in Pittsburgh.
Okay. I'm in Pittsburgh.
So let's build a Pennsylvania network. We'll do a Zoom call for you, and we'll really build this up, okay?
Okay, awesome, thank you.
Thank you. Lulu Freestad is on. I wanted to introduce Lulu if you're real quick. Lulu does a great work. She has her own Zoom calls. Lulu, are you with us? Do you need to be unmuted?
I'm here, Harvey. Thank you for having me.
Okay. This is the great Lulu, the legendary Lulu. Are you in Pittsburgh? You're in Pennsylvania also, yeah?
No, I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, all right. Well, I was close. Anyway, so Lulu, when do you do your Zoom calls?
They're on YouTube and on Facebook simultaneously, and they're every other Tuesday night. So the next one is going to be September 22nd at 7 p.m. This one is going to go over audits. This is called our Election Protection Series, and you can watch all of them on our YouTube channel. If you just go to YouTube and look for Smart Elections, there's a playlist there. So we're up to, I think, episode 7 now, and I'm really excited about who's going to be on the call. We're going to have Virginia Martin talking about full hand count audits. We're going to have Stephanie Singer from Verified Voting talking about risk limiting audits. Stephanie's my favorite person to talk about risk limiting audits because she actually makes them comprehensible. And she also was an election official in Philly for years. And so she knows about all of the dirty dealings that go on. She'll talk about that sometimes.
Okay, Lulu, you put your YouTube channel on the in the chat. Laura Chamberlain's requesting it, okay?
Yeah, can I just put I'll put that in there where you can watch the past episodes, and could I also just put where you register for the YouTube calls?
Yes.
It's great if you register ahead of time.
Put your own contacts because you're a great resource, okay?
Thanks so much, Harvey.
Thank you. Okay, we're really gonna race here. Is anybody here in Wisconsin? What has happened in Wisconsin, I'm sure many of you have seen it, but it just broke today, is the Wisconsin Supreme Court has issued a horrendous decision 4-3, of course, that is throwing the whole Wisconsin election into chaos. And the Green Party has, it's based on the Green Party, and I'm sure that the reaction against Green politics is going to be gargantuan. I urge everybody to look it up. We're not going to go into great detail today because it is a total nightmare. We will at some point we'll post at Grassroots EP all the articles that have to do with it. But this could actually affect the entire election. If anybody knows anybody in the Green Party, please contact me. And we'll have to figure out what we're going to ask them to do. And maybe I'm sure they're already being asked to withdraw and to allow this chaos in Wisconsin to clear up. If anybody knows anything about it, wants to chime in right now, this is a nightmare. So I urge everybody to take a look. We'll discuss it next week. And whatever you can contribute in terms of contacts or ideas, please contact me, okay? We'll get a it's hair pulling. It's, believe me, it couldn't be worse. Susan Pinchon, have you joined us from Florida? If not, it's okay, we're gonna move on. Sorry, I had a whole list of things to cover. We have just 35 minutes left. This national shortage of poll workers is serious. Again, we want to our next phase will hopefully be to produce some PSAs that can go generic, go around the country. This is a generational shift, as we've mentioned. You know, polls have been worked by older people like me in their 70s, and that's not going to happen this year. And the young people are not coming forward. And we need to exert great pressure and urging to all young people who marched for George Floyd, and there were millions of people in the streets. Everybody needs to come into the polls and be poll workers. And the pay is actually pretty good. The lowest I've heard is $11 an hour, and it's up to 20 in some cases. And there's no reason why we can't have young people coming out to the polls. It's the most important thing going on right now. And Bernie Sanders has made a statement, which again, we posted through Grassroots EP, and it's at freepress.org in the election section, he thinks that Biden is losing because he's not appealing to the young vote. And, you know, we all recall that at the Democratic convention, they had four Republicans, including the former Republican governor of Ohio, and just a minute for AOC. So this is an issue with young people. And again, you know, we have to find the answer to get them in to work the polls and to protect the polls as well as to vote. This NVI mailing, I'm gonna leave that for next week, this confusing mailing, unless somebody has something to say about it, that this group, allegedly an election protection group, has been mailing out very confusing ballot applications that aren't valid. If you get one of these, if you know people who are getting them, please contact us because we wanna deal with them. Sorry. There's a group called the Democratic Association of Secretaries of State that's being pushed by Obama and Eric Holder. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they're doing. If anybody does, please let me know. Alicia Keys has headlined a special that's over an hour, and I watched it. They've raised $5 million. There's another seven. They want two more, and all it does is assure people that it's safe to vote at home. I don't know, you can take a look at it. Me personally, I think the money might have been better spent on just getting grassroots people in to work the polls, which they did not talk about, by the way. We're gonna continue next week. This has just been action-packed. We have more people on now than when we started. Thank you, Mike Hirsch, thank you, Joel Siegel, Bob Fitrakis, everybody, Kenny Bruno, for making this possible. And we're just gonna barrel through anything you want on next week's call. Email me, you'll get your notices on Friday and then over the weekend, and we will reconvene, but certainly going to talk with all the groups, any group that's doing a work that can be plugged into by people from out of state, have them represented, and we'll save this election, folks.
What choice do we have? Okay. See you next week, everybody. Thank you, Mike Hirsch. And thank you, Steve Caruso. And God help us. Let's save this election.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna